let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John.
Hello, Danny.
Today, amazingly, we're going to talk about nakedness. My favorite subject.
To.
No, I'm just kidding. Just
What's
kidding.
That?
It's my favorite subject.
Your favorite subject.
Just kidding.
Hey, you know something? You know, putting all joking aside, it is profound and very deep motif in Scripture.
It is a lot more deep after I read your post on ancienthopes.org. I really realized that the nakedness motif is really tied to everything. It's a lot deeper and a lot more complex than I thought it would be.
Right. And we tend to live on a surface, you know, like a silly understanding of the whole thing. But the Scripture takes us deep into this motif. And by doing so, as you mentioned, we understand our humanity.
Yeah. I think that the whole idea of the nakedness, like you just said, it was much more of a high level thing for me. I just said, okay, yeah, they realized that they were naked. Oh, they had to cover themselves, but it's so much more complex than that.
That's right. And so what we have here in the temptation narrative, which basically is chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, okay, mm-hmm. It describes our fallen nature by this one image, and that is nakedness.
Yeah.
We're sinners, we're naked.
Yeah.
Okay. So the whole thing turns on a pun, because the last verse of chapter 2 describes Adam and Eve in their paradise. They were arumim. That's the word. The Hebrew word is arumim.
Uh-huh.
And it's translated, they were naked, but they were not ashamed.
Right.
Okay. Which invites us to think, Danny, what it would be like to be naked and not ashamed.
Yeah. That's a really interesting idea or thought.
It is, especially, well, we can't really do that, but we, in our imagination, we can say there's purity there because there's no lust.
Uh-huh.
There's no desire to use. There's no desire to take.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay. The beauty of the imago Dei in the other person, the deep respect, all that stuff is wrapped up. And they were arumim.
Uh-huh.
There's an innocence, a transparency. They could see into each other's minds through their bodies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was thinking when I was reading this, I thought, that's impossible for me.
It's impossible for me too.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't even consider the fact that that might be the case, you know, for them. Because
right.
I can't think about that myself. I can't get my mind around it.
And of course, the whole goal of a sacramental marriage is get back to that garden. Okay, and
sure.
It's hard work.
It is.
We've been working at it for a long time, haven't we, Dan?
Yeah, 40 years.
Even as old men, it's hard to get there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, the contrast is with the pun arumim, with the serpent who was arum.
Okay.
A pun. Two words that sound alike, arum and arumim, but mean the opposite.
Okay.
So the snake was the opposite of that, which would be not innocent.
Right.
Motives are dark. There is something very sinister.
Mm-hmm. Hidden agendas.
Hidden.
Yeah.
Right. Contrasted to the naked innocence of Adam and Eve.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, as we described in our last post, the process by which the devil always attacks us, right? We talked about that in our last post.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was done with his work, it's kind of like he did something or something happened and changed in their constitution that reflects the snake.
Yeah.
Right? Because their eyes were open in verse 7, and they knew they were Arumim.
Right. So somehow there's a corruption of...
of their nakedness.
Of their innocence. Yeah.
Right. However, the problem with all this, and like so much a problem in Scripture, is that we're invited to live in horrific tensions, okay? Big tensions, right? Mm-hmm. Because even though our bodies are fallen, we lost the glory, and there's all the embarrassment that goes on with our bodies, right?
Yeah.
And that we have to cover them, right?
Yep.
They still have the Imago Dei.
Exactly. We're still in the image.
Yeah. And have a power. Uh-huh. So, you know, when you look at beautiful women, so to speak, it's not just hormonal, okay, not just chemical, like mm-hmm. as if we are evolved beast or something like that. Oh, okay, it's time.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
No. There's more, something more to it. There is the image of God that's in the body. It's in the body.
Yeah.
And therefore, that the body has worth, the body has a power.
Right.
And there's a power to nakedness.
Sure. Draws the attention.
And yeah. Now it's become volatile.
Mm. Oh, true. Yeah.
Right. And therefore, they feel this. And so therefore, their immediate reaction is, oh my, fig leaf, right?
Yeah. Got to have something on me.
They sew them up, right?
Yeah, right.
So when you're naked now, Arumim, they have now become vulnerable. Vulnerable to the elements.
Yeah.
Your power went off, right? In your house, it's what, 40 degrees this morning?
44, yeah.
44 degrees?
In the house.
Not much nakedness there in the house, is
it? No, I don't want to be. I had a coat on.
Right, you know. So we're vulnerable to the elements, and so we have to cover up, right?
Sure, yeah.
But we're also vulnerable to the gaze of others.
Yep.
And this is a really, really difficult issue because there is this fascination with our bodies and our sexuality.
Yep.
We're very tantalized by nakedness, right?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we know out of decency and out of modesty,
yes,
that it should be covered. There's got to be tight boundaries around something that is powerful like this.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a story. So last night, because we didn't have power, Merit Athletic Club opened their doors to anyone who doesn't have power to come in and take a hot shower.
Oh.
So Doris and I did that last night. And I'm there in their, you know, dressing room. I had just finished a shower. I was getting ready to dress. So I'm standing there naked. And a guy walks in, and he happens to have a locker right next to mine. And he had clothes on, but he did. It was really amazing. Exactly what you're saying.
You know, yeah.
He did not look at me.
Right.
He turned his back. You know,
right.
To me.
Out of decency.
Yes, out of decency.
Right.
While I pulled on my underwear, got dressed.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So I was. You know, that it didn't occur to me until you just said that just now.
Now,
but
what
made
it really interesting is he belonged to your church.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't recognize him.
Didn't recognize you with clothes.
That's it. Good one. Anyway.
As Shakespeare says, the clothes makes the man, right?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Got it.
Right.
So
right.
So anyway, but there was a real sense there of me being... not ashamed, but just
vulnerable.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And him knowing that I am and not staring, not even looking really, you know, next locker, right next to me, you know.
That's right. Well, let's get back to the fact that this nakedness now becomes the motif that describes our state in life, both naked physically, but also immorally, you know, the shame that goes along with the whole thing, you know. How can something so beautiful and grand yet be associated with shame and the need for modesty and for boundaries?
Sure, yeah.
All this craziness can, you know, and it can drive us, it can really drive a person completely crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
When you think about that, and so much of what we do in our moral lives is to keep those boundaries and modesty, right? So there's something unglorious about us because we're mortal. We lost our glory. And at 7 years old, I'm not too impressed with myself. Okay. And yet there is this fascination of when we do look, our bodies, even if they're old and aging, it does have an imprint of the glory of God.
Right. Exactly. Right? Still in that image. Yeah.
Right. And if you're living your marriages right, your wives actually become more and more beautiful.
Yes.
The more time you're with them over the years, even though they feel like, I want to hide.
Right, right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Aren't these all the issues of life that we work through? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
Aren't these all the issues of life that we work through? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the fallen nature is described best as nakedness, vulnerability, needing of salvation. And so what does God do? It's very important that he provides something more lasting than fig leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
He provides a coat for them made of fur.
Uh-huh.
The implication here is that something had to die.
Right.
Something had to die.
In order to cover, to clothe them. Yeah, yeah.
And so salvation is spoken on from here on out with being covered.
Uh-huh.
A covering. And so dirty clothes is a motif of being sinful. Being naked is a motif of being sinful. But being covered, like the white robes in Revelation, is a symbol of salvation, but also of maturity. Like we've human race have worked through this difficult issue of our nakedness, and now we are clothed with a dignity. Our interior angst about this whole thing is resolved.
Yeah,
but, you know, just think about that, and everything is just very pure.
Hmm.
Right.
I thought it was interesting that when God provided the fur clothing for them,
yeah,
you talked about it sort of being a foreshadowing of sacrifices.
It is.
So that is. I thought that was a really interesting concept,
you
too.
You know, and that whole idea of worship, you know, and sacrifice, the covering, God's provision for us.
Yeah.
And now this takes us into something really, really, really difficult, Danny, for us to think about. But again, the Bible tells it as it is. It's not squeamish.
Doesn't pull any punches.
When it comes to things like this, you know, we are very two-faced about this in our culture. On one hand, we expose ourselves when we want to, when we feel like that's we're empowered and we can have eyes looking at the glory, you know, of nakedness. So therefore you have all this crazy stuff in our culture about exposing ourselves.
Yeah.
But no one wants to be exposed.
Yes,
they want to be in charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel talks about this, and we'll get that, you know, someday we're going to get to Ezekiel. Right.
Wow.
Right. So it's really strange how a beautiful woman, let's say, could expose herself in one moment. And yet if someone were to force her to expose herself against her will, Oh, no.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Two different, really completely different things. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so this is deep, Danny. It's really deep. And so when we see Christ on the cross, okay, remember the cross is the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil converged. Okay. He becomes a tree of life for us, but he also takes on our sin, that autonomy that is described here in Genesis chapter 3, that's Arumim, naked. And so Christ experiences the shame of nakedness on the cross.
Right, yeah.
Now, Danny, this is going to be unpleasant, but we have to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus hung on the cross with the women all around, and this would have been terrifying to them because in this culture, they were very, very conservative and they had strict mores with regard to dress.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Romans wanted to humiliate by exposing people's nakedness right there on the cross.
Sure. So that was an easy way to do it. Just the.
Easy way for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all three. The thieves and were exposed, completely.
Uh-huh.
And of course, this would have been very difficult for the women and the mother of the Lord, to behold this.
Sure,
scene.
To be standing there looking. Yeah.
Right. And Michelangelo and a lot of the Renaissance painters really, really wrestled with the nakedness of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was not such a thing of beauty, although Jesus is always portrayed as a very muscular. I mean, it's always a beautiful body.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
No, okay. Right, of course,
The point is that he's exposed against his will, but he allowed himself to be exposed like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one particular interesting sketch that Michelangelo's of the three men, and they're completely naked.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Michelangelo is called the three crosses. And what the Renaissance painters knew, and everybody knew, Danny, about this type of asphyxiation on the cross, is that Christ not only was naked, but that as he was dying, expiring, he would have what's called a death erection.
Ah. Oh.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Which is a complete humiliation, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so this is part of the whole exposure of God. In fact, Michelangelo makes his head turn the other way in shame, which would have been, made fun of by people who hated him, and it would have been just brutally horrible.
Devastating.
But it's very interesting that even though out of decency, Christ has always got a wrapping around, okay, as there's always this swirl of a tuck in front of him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Sure,
yeah, exactly.
Well, that is the painter's representation of this.
Oh.
Okay, that Jesus, as the husband of the church, is seen as virile. And that through this moment of becoming the bridegroom to his church, that it represents the fruit and the power of procreation spiritually in a whole new age.
Yeah, sheesh.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is all very deep, and the Renaissance painters understood this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So obviously, we don't want to have any kind of representation like that of Christ. Now, and, there's got to be boundaries here. Because
we are really
all of us are messed up. I mean, to see something like that would just be completely, take us in bad places. And
right,
stuff,
right.
Right. But it also, though, the human body in nakedness, moving on a little bit from that very, very startling fact.
Yeah.
John Paul II, he discussed this. He goes into this deep stuff. Uh-huh. Okay. And he says that when it comes to representing the naked body, the artist has to take responsibility.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And that comes from a purity of thought. So getting back to Michelangelo, much of his stuff is bare naked. And of course, we all know that some of the popes after that said, I've just put on, you know, G-strings on these, you know.
Right.
That sort of thing. And then JP2, when he got it cleaned up, said, take them off, okay?
Right, yeah.
Because true art will not excite that lust, but true art, if it's done with a certain purity of intention, brings out the beauty of the human body.
Yeah.
Right? But JP2 says here, not only does the artist have a responsibility, but the viewer has a responsibility,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Right? And therefore, something that's a pure art that's done purely could be seen with the impure heart in a bad way.
Yeah.
See how complex this is?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it gets down to dressing. Okay, there's so many women out there that says, hey, I can dress anybody where I want.
Of course, yeah.
I don't have to take responsibility because it's all a responsibility of the man. Mm-hmm. You know, that is naive. And
yeah.
And it's not really being attuned to the depth of this whole nakedness motif, right?
Right, sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the how we dressed modestly is our responsibility, but also how we look on people who they dress, that is our responsibility too.
Yeah.
So we have this fight, this tension, okay, that's described here as in our fallen state. And nakedness is at the very center of our struggle as human beings, because the body's not evil. John Paul II says that concupiscence is not located in the human body.
Mm.
It's located in our own lustful hearts. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very important because a lot of people have that platonic idea that, you know, the body is evil or it's shameful or it's not good.
Yeah, sure.
But the scripture lives in that tension.
Yeah.
Of that, it's something beautiful, you know? When you look at your own nakedness, let's say in a mirror, and you're looking at something that's divine.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just that no one else can see it.
That's right.
And it should be, you know?
Yeah.
And that should be, for all of us, we should be in awe of our bodies, even though they're fallen and don't have the glory. But then on the other hand, we've got to realize out of modesty that, you know, this body has lost its glory. I'm embarrassed about it, you know, certain things. And the embarrassment is part of the truth of the scriptures as well, is that
right.
We are longing for a new body,
yeah.
A glorified body that will bring no embarrassment to us at all.
Right, exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Like Christ, risen body, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
I'm not sure. Do you think we've covered just about, I mean, you can't, you know, you can't get to the bottom of this whole thing, but
right.
We really said some startling things today, and a lot of our hearers will be very startled by this, but all we're doing really is speaking what the scriptures and this motif would invite us to think.
Right. And it's like we said, the scriptures don't pull any punches. They're going to lay it out there.
There's no Victorian facade here at all. It's, you
exactly.
know, it's just, it is the way it is.
Okay,
you know?
Good. Well, let's leave it there. And I wonder if we'll get comments back from people. We'll see.
God bless you. Bye.
Thanks. Take care. See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible. and dive right in.